Hi, thank you so much for joining. This is Pastor Patricia, and on today I'm going to talk about being God's way. We want to see God's way, and I pray, Father God, that you have your way during this learning time and that we'll be able to hear what you're saying. Father God, you let us know that he that ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord said to the church. And so, churches, and so I pray, Father God, Lord, in accordance with your word, that I will hear what you are saying, and that which is expressed be that what you will have for your people, and that we will learn and grow in you. We need you, Father God. Help us to hear what you are saying to us, that we will live according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Generally, it's stated more times than it is not stated that nobody is perfect. And so I think about how the perspective is based on from a human or natural perspective, and our understanding is perfect. And then I think about what the Word of God is saying, even how I remember hearing stated from Pastor Michael Youssef, the word therefore. When you see what the word therefore, find out what it is there for. And so to say, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, is to say, therefore is a summary word, or is drawing a conclusion, meaning what was that that was recently stated. It goes along with what was just said. And so in the preceding verses, it starts off with what is known as the Beatitudes, talking about those blessed statements. Talking about being the salt of the earth and being light. It talks about different headings on here in the particular Bible I'm using here, the King James, and it talks about teachings, and it talks about murder and anger, and teachings on temptation and divorce and oaths and forgiveness and loving your enemies. And so it those what it says in this particular one, the Thomas Nelson 2016 King James Version. So it's headings on here. One of the things I wanted to express is concerning therefore, be ye therefore perfect. And so I wanted to, when I woke up this morning, I was thinking about how the way in which we may see things from our own perspective. We're going to see God's way. And so sometimes a person may think about going, you know, I want to be, you know, I thought about like a three-leg race. You know, this particular person, actually a pastor had brought this up recently. He didn't express it, you know, to what I would share, but he said when he went, basically he gave a summary about how a person wanted to get rid of that person. That's, you know, that person's holding them down, so to speak. But I was thinking about how God sees things, how he wants us to do things, you know. Think about his word and how a person in three-leg race, they may look at, I want to get rid of this person because you're holding me back. And what we want to run the race. We want to win. And so we think about how a person wants to do what? We want to be first. We want to be first place, right? We want to be first. We want to be fastest. I want to be fastest. And you're holding me back. I want to be fast. And then we want to think about, I want to get the most. We think about in this world, I want to get the most out of it. I want to get, you know, do the furthest, you know, because some people give out in the race. Sometimes people just can't. Some people just need more support. And then you think about how much, and then you think about the best. I want to be noted for being the best. Like I said, let's say you won the award for winning. And then you say, I want acknowledgement. So let's say you won first place. I want people to look at me, like me, in those type of things. These are some of the things we may look at in the world. I thought about the difference of if a person is in a special needs Olympics and a person is running their race, they're not in a three-leg race, so it's nothing holding them back. They could obviously, I'm going to get up there before you. I'm going to be first. I'm going to get the best. I'm going to get a trophy. People are going to run and celebrate me and hug me and hold me and, you know, give me high fives. But the thing is, somebody fell down. And another person that sees that person that fell down, they go over there and they aid that person. They assist that person in getting up, and they may even walk alongside of them. So this person, you may think, oh, that person has no chance of winning. But in whose eyes? See, our perspective is, we have to change our perspective. We have to see God's way. And so I think about these different words, as I just stated, some and some are fast, you know, I want to be first. I want to be get the most. I want to be known as the best, and I want acknowledgement. That's how we may be seen as far as this is what's perfect, or this is how you do it. This is how you get there. And I believe God is showing us something different. He's showing us something different. And so even when you think about in his word, he expresses to us some things that he's looking for. So we may be thinking as far as you do nothing wrong, you did everything just right. If you're talking about being perfect, that means you don't do any wrong. You never did anything wrong. And then we may say sinless also, sinless perfection. And I think about how when we think about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and how he did everything just right, that he was perfect, sinless, and blameless. Now, if we're using the same word as far as sinless for perfect, then we won't say perfect, sinless, and blameless. So I'm thinking about the fact of, no, we are looking at the fact that we want to get to the point and say, okay, it's sinless perfection. We know that's what Jesus had, and that's what who Jesus is, a representative embodiment of he never did anything wrong, and how he lived and did everything our Heavenly Father had given him to do in obedience. Yet I want to look at these words in different, you know, as far as the different meaning. Why? Because they're different words for a reason, because they may have some different meaning. So perfect means something different from sinless, and sinless means something different from blameless. And so we want to be able to see things God's way. And so when we're saying perfect, according to our standards as far as humanity, we may look at things as far as, you know, oh, it's just our just right definition. Maybe, you know, looking at your nails and it's like, oh, it's manicured nails, right? We may look at, okay, your shoes are shine. We may look at the fact of, oh, you went to the salon, every hair in place. We may look at the fact that you go to someone's house and it's like, okay, you put your things arranged on the shelf and everything is turned a certain direction when you arrange this next to this, everything lined up. And then you may have no dishes in the sink. You may have swept and mopped and used spick and span. It's like immaculate. This may be what our definition is of when you say it's just right. It may be saying that's perfect. Okay, wow, that's the ideal. That's it. But the thing is, how does God see it? What is he looking for? What is the perspective of how he wants us to see things? It's not just this outer appearance. Say, man looks at the outer appearance, God looks at the heart. And so even if you think about our outer appearance, whether it's how we dress or it's how we do our hair or whether it's how we won the race, anything that's outward or it is external things, God is looking at the heart and what's going on the inside. Even how Jesus, think about our Lord and Savior Jesus, how he expressed to the person that, you think about the rich ruler, what he did, all these different things he said since his youth, his keeping the commandments. But Jesus said, you know, one thing he lacked, he said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And so a person might think, oh, that means you got to give all your things away? No, this is what he stated to this particular person in his situation because God knew and knows what each one of our hearts is. He knew what the rich ruler's heart was with his riches. So in this case, this is what was going on with him. One person case, it may be something else. Just like he said, oh, well, this person may say, I never committed adultery. And you're correct. On the outside, you never physically did the act. The person will figure, hey, thumbs up for me. I never did anything wrong. I didn't do this particular thing, at least. And say, have you left it out of anybody in your heart? Then you committed adultery in the heart. See, sometimes people may think, because I haven't done this physical thing, I'm okay. I remember a pastor, you know, I was underneath the leadership of a pastor some years ago, and one of the things that was stated from her, she said that she went, and there was a pastor, he was speaking a message, and he was saying how he was in traffic, and it was like a situation with traffic, and the person like cut him off or something like that, and how he had some choice words for the person, but he never said it, and so he basically commended the fact of, but I didn't say it. And so I'm thinking, and she expressed this, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we justify ourselves. Oh, I thought these different things. Or we may say, in our case or another person's case, we may say, well, I felt these certain things, but I didn't do anything about it. Or I just kept it to myself. But we got to examine ourselves, even when we feel a certain way. Or even when we have these bad thoughts, we got to say, we got to stop them. We got to stop them at the door because we don't want that thing to enter into our heart. Then we begin to act on it. So we got to be able to stop. Oh, I'm thinking these things. That's not right. I'm going over here. Then that stuff get in you. A person may not know the difference. The person may not know the difference between, oh, this is just something that I'm just thinking and I need to just go on and get rid of it. Or the enemy trying to plant an idea in your mind and to how you had it to foster and now he wanted to foster it, you know, nurturing it. And then to fester, it began to, you know, germinate. And then also you begin to what? React to it. It become a part of that person's life, and you'd be looking like, that's just where I am. No, it doesn't have to be. And we do have a choice, and so I'm asking God help us, and he helps us through his word. Glory to God. And so we want to see things God's way. We want to understand about it's not just externally, it's internally. It's not just how things look or, oh, I did things just right according to my standard or other people's ideals, but it's according to what His Word is saying. We want to line up with His Word. Even how the Word of God said, not going to the left or going to the right. We got to go where? Straight in the middle. We got to line up. When we come to Christ, we line up. Think about how it was a thief on the right and a thief on the left. We got to come straight to the middle. That's what Jesus is, died on the cross in the middle. We don't want to do that. And so even if you think about that's the straight path, the narrow path, that leads to life. That's through Jesus. And so one of the things years ago I thought about how, and I thank God for this because I know He has to be the one that give me to me the understanding because I don't know anything by myself. And that is the fact that both thieves were on the broad path. If you have your foot on this side of the line and this part of the line, then that's Broadway. The straight path, the narrow path is right in the middle, life in Christ. The thing is, one of them came to Jesus and the other one did not. And so we want to line up in Christ, and we don't want to be in the Broadway any longer. We want to come to Him, even though physically, naturally, He was on the cross on one side. He came to Christ in His heart, so He was actually lined up. So we can't just look at things according to the natural. We can't just look at it from our own personal perspective or our own personal experience or what we think or what we feel. We have to have understanding according to God's Word. That's how we see. According to understanding. The Word of God lets us know, and all you're getting, get understanding. We want to see God's way. And so we want to be in alignment with His Word. And we're talking about how do we do things just right? And so we think about when you run in this race, it's not just about being fast or first or having the most or being the best or acknowledgement. Because sometimes we may not get that in this world. But do we look at ourselves and have other people to downplay us and say, well, you're a failure? No, and it's not often, also, it's not for me to just put myself up. I did this, and I got this, and I ain't doing it y'all way, so therefore I'm doing it right. No, because even in my attitude now, I need help. We need help. We need Jesus in every area of our lives, inside and out. It's what we do. It does matter. It matters how we do. It matters our attitude. It matters the attitude of our heart. It matters what we think on. And we want to think on what His Word says. We want to meditate on His Word day and night. And we want to live in accordance with His Word. And so this is so important for us as people of God. We want to see things God's way. We want to know what He has purpose for our lives. And then we want to walk therein. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's line up with His Word. Let us live for Jesus every day. And actually help us because He's helping us to do so by His Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.